Paul describes the gospel as great in the book of Hebrews. And when he writes to Timothy, he talks about the gospel being glorious. The gospel is both great and glorious. It's personal. Summing up, it's a relationship. Do you remember, it's in Luke 19:10. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost was relationship. I don't know about you, but when I read Genesis, I feel the ache and the pain in God's heart when he says, Adam, Adam, where are you? The ache in his heart. Adam was kidnapped by Satan through his disobedience. He was blinded, but through the cross, we can be brought back into that relationship. Whenever I'm engaging with people and I talk to people how a loving God wants to have a sweet, deep, intimate relationship with them, that's the essence of the gospel. And when Jesus comes in, everything changes. Everything changes. Now, for you and I love to soak myself in different stories about the gospel because it helps it become more real to me and it helps me to be able to communicate that to others. There's a beautiful story I'll possibly read at the end, but just to go to some practical aspects about our lives being salt and our salt roots. The salt roots are our different paths that we go on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. And can I encourage you that to begin to write down, there's a little pamphlet somebody drew up for me, is where you got your home. Whether you live in a complex, whether you live in a gated area, or wherever you live, your first step is get to know your neighbors. Begin to write their names down that you can begin to start praying for them. I believe the prayers that have heaven's memo urgent answer at all cost are those prayers for those who are yet to believe. Begin to find out who your neighbors are. Write them down and ask the question to the Lord, where are they in relation to you? And you'll find some are very distant, some are doing their own thing, content with where they are, but there's a lot of people that are disillusioned with life. They're under pressure financially, under pressure marriage with their kids, all sorts. Can I say the pressures of life ripen fruit? The pressures of life ripen fruit. When people begin to think, well, what on earth is this marriage all about? Paul spoke about that when you get married, there's going to be trials, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be challenges. Why? He wants us to go back to him who ordained and orchestrated and ordained marriage, that we could find how, as husbands, we can love our wives. Wives, how to submit and work together in team with your husband. I tell folk that are struggling in their marriage, our first 3 years of marriage were like the Great Tribulation. We weren't sure who was the beast, who was the Antichrist. And I was the pastor of a church. I'll tell you more about that story on Sunday. So my neighbors that are struggling in their marriage, I can say, you know what? We've had difficulties as well. And this is how we navigated through it. You see, when you begin to be real and honest in your life and with your life, with your kids and the challenges you had and the teens, all those things ripen. I'm just remembering at this moment how Rodney and Selena, they were our neighbors of our facing Berwick Road on our left. And I'm quoting what he told me 10 years after we moved in. Was he says, Wally, I must have been the world's worst neighbor. Everything that you could think of complaining about, he did. When I mowed the lawn, it wasn't the right time for him because he was having a nap. Or my electric mower was fuzzing his TV while he was watching either cricket, rugby, or soccer. There was just one thing after another. He was one of the most challenging people ever I've had to love. And often it was just, how's it over the fence? Hey, Rodney, how are you? You know, if we had people for Bright, it was too loud, too noisy. The smoke went over into his yard. It was just... It was, you know, one of those grumpy, grouchy. He was the fourth grumpy old man that didn't appear in that movie of three grumpy men. And I just had to keep on praying for him. But guess what? The tragedy of all tragedies happened. His 18-year-old granddaughter was tragically killed in a car accident. But guess who was the first person he came over to? Knocked on our door weeping. He says, "Well, I've got no friends to go to. And you've been the kindest person to me." Came in, prayed together with him, and it was one titanic wrestle in his heart. And he said yes to Jesus. And it was amazing to see what God did in his life. He invited Shirley and I over for tea and cake, and that's where he apologized. Senior guy, he says, "Wally, I've got to apologize for being the world's worst neighbor. But thank you for loving me and forgiving me and just working with it." And God just did some super cool things in his life. He immigrated to New Zealand a couple of years ago. But there was a sweet, sweet moment. But boy, it was tough. But we had to pray. Never, ever underestimate the power of prayer for those who are yet to believe. My mom lives in Sydney. She's not a Christian. My brother lives in Hong Kong. He's not a Christian. But when I talked to them on the phone, my mom would say, "Willie, I've spoken to one of those crazy, happy, clappy people of yours." So I said, "Hey, Mom, that's cool. What did they tell you?" "Oh, no, they tell me that I've got to be born again. I've got to get my life right with God." I said, "No, that's right. What do you think about that?" "Yeah, I'm not ready." I said, "Mom, 85. When is ready going to be ready?" And so I see urgency. And so my mom knows the whole sinner's prayer because I've led her through it many times, but it didn't come from her heart. But she knows it. But I don't stop praying for her. Now, I've got what we call the Lamb's Book of Life, but before I get to that, your salt roots is please write down the names of your neighbors. And as you pray for them, God will show you who to invite over for tea, who to invite over for dinner. And they might think, "Well, why are you doing this now? What's up?" Just say, "You know what? I just wanted to build a bit of community spirit. And we ask your neighbors, I just really want to get along a little better with you." And then from that position, see how you can love them. You know Hussein, my Muslim friend, I told you about, I love chilies. I grow different chilies, or about 5-6 different kinds. I love hot chili paste. So whenever I make my chili paste, I take him a bottle. Why? Just to show him some love and kindness. Just to show him. My other friend across also loves chilies. Take him a bottle as well. Everything I do, I say, "Lord, how can I share and reflect you to my community?" If I'm driving home at night and somebody's left the garage door open by accident, I pull over, I stop, knock on the door. Adrian is his name. He's left it 3 times open the last month. I said, "Adrian, the fourth time, I help myself." He said, no, Wally, thank you for telling me. My wife, she forgets to close it. So a bit of a joke. When he comes with his kids in the pram, walking past our place, they're popping. We're chatting. See, so wherever I'm going, I'm looking for up it. And I put him on my prayer list. He's on my salt route. If I hear of anything in my community, it's my business. I'm the unofficial mayor of 7 Penny Branch Road and the near and the surrounding community. It's my business what happens. Because I'm holding them in my heart in the place of prayer. If there's a burglary, if there's an accident, if there's a baby born, an anniversary, a couple getting married, engaged, I'm there to celebrate. I know the places where I can buy champagne and I take them a bottle of champagne. I celebrate with them. "Why are you doing well?" Hey, we're building a community spirit. Some of you might think, "Well, I live in such a tightly gated community." You're in the community. You're in the community. Do something about it. Just begin to find out who's lonely. Fight them over. Get to know them. Get your salt root, the names of the people you work with, your colleagues. And how many of you know there's office talk that can open a door for the gospel? How many of you have heard of so-and-so, they're ill, or a car accident, or there's a divorce, or there's this tragedy? Can I say that's the moment you step in and say, I'm so sorry I've heard. How can I help? Come over for a meal. I believe hospitality is one of the key ways of reaching and winning people for Jesus. It is so underestimated, but it is so important. Did you know that on Judgment Day, one of the things he will ask us, did we extend hospitality? Did we invite others over for meals? You read it in Matthew 24, 25, somewhere there. Did we extend hospitality and care for people? It's a small little thing, but it means a lot to people. It really does. Get your salt roots. And as you start praying, you'll see God's heart turning. I'll find out when it's people's birthdays. This young guy, Paul, I found, he told me 18th of November. So I write it down in my little book. 18th of November, I'll give him a call. I say, how, Paul, just remember you mentioned that. How's it going? See, when you begin to remember little things, it means much to others. It's the care and the kindness of God that opens people's hearts and lives. I believe we can live lives being kind, and God ambushes their hearts. Your salt roots, with reference to your sports, I've got about a dozen, if not more, names on my Lamb's Book of Life of all my squash buddies. And I pray for them. And I have such fun because I can see God at work in their lives. And it's so beautiful, but then they start asking questions. They start talking about life. Guys that are having midlife crises, they begin to, what have I done with my life? I say, you know, we all have those questions. Just my wife wouldn't let me get a Harley or a leather jacket. I'm just kidding. But guys that don't know God, they go through all sorts of crises. But if you're there, you can lovingly plant seeds to let them know that the course that they're going, and what is it going to look like if they continue that direction. What do you need to do? This Lamb's Book of Life. Firstly, my point number one in my book is every day I start off in my Lamb's Book of Prayer is thanking God for saving me. To me, I'm forever grateful for His grace, His love that arrested my heart. See, whatever you are grateful and appreciative for increases in value. If you neglect thanking Him, you take salvation for granted. And I think only in eternity one day will we fully grasp the scope of the greatness of the salvation. So I always like to start off by thanking God. Secondly, this book, my Lamb's Book of Life, helps me to stay focused on the Great Commission. How many of you know there's many tangents in life? And so often we're doing this, doing that, but is it advancing the kingdom of God or our own agenda? The Lamb's Book of Life helps me to be intentional with who I'm engaging with and how to reach out to them. So important, because many Christians, sadly, have very, very few non-Christian friends. And their big fear is they're going to contaminate me, they're going to defile me. No, not at all. I'm not talking about going into places of sin excessive. No, invite them over to your home. If they bring a bottle of wine or something, don't panic. Don't have a moment of, we don't drink. You know, because so often we have a, I know in Cape Town when we first arrived, we didn't even have a corkscrew. We invited our neighbors over for dinner. They came with a bottle of wine under their arm. And Shirley said, well, where's the corkscrew? I said, we don't have one. So that was the next thing was on our list, to get a corkscrew. And so often we judge people by the outward instead of the heart. See, when you got them on your prayer list, it helps you build bridges with them. It helps you get to know where they are. It helps you become aware of the ones that are more open and the ones that are more resistant. I focus on the ones that are more open and are asking questions about life. Where there's been a death in the family, how many of you know they think through things more deeply? That's when you come alongside and ask. I remember in Freyheit, one of the funeral parlors phoned me up and said, Wally, there's a family, they've had a death in the family, they don't go to church. Would you help do the funeral? I said, gee, absolutely. I had one of my most profound, powerful times of just sharing the love of God, the comfort of God, the care of God. Told the funeral parlor, whenever that situation arises, you can phone me. I'll do all those funerals for people. And we had dozens that we did. It was wonderful. And guess what? People start coming because they're seeing what church is really all about. A community of people that love God, love one another, love life, and care for others. My Lamb's Book of Life helped me to every day I review my day to see how I could do it better. Every day I review, Lord, this person we met, how better could have I engaged with them? So I'm a disciple. I'm learning each and every day how to better engage with them. You know, when a person says, no, my ambition in life, my dream in life is to make millions. I said, that's great. What are you going to do with it all? See, they just thought about making it. They haven't thought what they're going to do with it. And then I asked them, well, when are you going to put a full stop? When is enough going to be enough? Then I'd say, well, by the way, you know, the things that really matter in life, you actually can't buy. For example, I said you can buy books, but you can't buy brains. You can buy a bed, but you can't buy sleep. You can buy nice things, but you can't buy real beauty. I said you can give money to the poor, but you can't buy eternal life. I said, you can buy medicine, but you can't buy health. And then you begin to realize, geez, all these millions I want to make, do I really want to? And then I began to engage with them because it's a lot of the society and culture because they get their worth and identity from things, not out of relationship. I pray for those that I have once-off divine appointments with. Can I so encourage you, your Lamb's Book of Life, where you got the people that you're praying for, your friends, your family, certain countries. Shirley and I, for the last year and a bit, have been praying for Europe and the refugees. Shirley said, so 10 past 2, her phone alarm goes off. We spend the next 10, 15 minutes praying for Europe. Set places that God lays on your heart to start praying for them. And you'll see God start breaking out in and over those places. To me, when you start praying for the lost, it's so wonderful to see God at work. What we did as well, and you can do it in small groups, you get photos of people that are family and friends that you're trusting and believing God for their salvation. You circle their face if it's a group, and on the back of the photograph, write a little bit about them that you can pray with understanding. And then you share the photos out, and then you spend 10 minutes praying for them. I remember the one time the Lord spoke, you know, Israel's got that big wailing wall. We got a big wall, maybe about the length of where your cafe sort of counter is. Got a big piece of paper. And we wrote down the names of people in our Lamb's Book of Life that we were praying for. And we started off the service praying. At the end of the service, the middle of the service, just different times we pray for them. And as they started coming in and getting saved, we said, we've got something so cool to show you. And we'd show them the photograph. Take them there and say, you know what, we're going to circle that and we've got a big tick and celebrate. We make prayer something of a high priority for those who are yet to believe. What do we pray? We pray firstly to ask God to reveal his character to them. So many people have got a distorted picture of who God is. So we start saying, Father, reveal your love and your kindness to them. Who you are. If you really know who he is, who wouldn't want to believe in him? See, the devil is the father of lies that's distorted who God is. We pray God reveal that you have a plan and a purpose for them. Secondly, we pray and ask God to frustrate Satan's plan for their lives. You know, as God has got a plan Satan has a plan for death, destruction, to kill and to steal and destroy. But we ask God to frustrate Satan's plan and to divinely intervene. Thirdly, we like to ask God to turn their hearts back to Him. Ask God to turn their hearts back to Him. The Bible says He's placed eternity in the hearts of man. And we say, God, please just turn their hearts back to Him. God, the swallows that fly from Europe to South Africa, the whales that migrate from the Arctic to the warm tropics, God, You've put in that design of migration. God, Your Spirit within, let it turn them back to You. I love praying this one. I ask God to make the pleasures of the world turn sour. The pleasures of the world to turn sour. I remember chatting to some of the young guys on the squash in the change rooms, and they were talking about this jaw they had and the woman they'd laid with. I found out what that was all about the other day. And this jaw and this thing. And I said to the guys, how are you ever going to find the right lady to marry if you're messing around with so many? No, we'll find it. We'll find them. I said, no, that's interesting. Where are you going to find her? Is it the places where you're currently going? No, I don't think so. I said, well, where do you think you might find them? Maybe in church. I said, feel free to come and visit. So I have guys coming. I said, I'm watching you too because I know what you're here for. But at least they're coming. And then I really dropped a clangor on them. I said to them, would you like to one day marry a lady that's pure and has kept herself? Oh, absolutely. We want to marry virgins. I said, that's cool. Don't you think they might have the same thing on their minds? How many of you know there was a real hush? And I said, no matter what you've done, God will forgive you and He'll give you another start. So I didn't put a heavy on them, but I got them to think what they were wanting, they weren't prepared to do themselves. So some avoid me when I see them. And some say, well, let's talk more. So I keep Andy Stanley's CDs in my squash bag called Love, Sex, and Dating. And I hand them out to all the different guys that are there. Just do that. Some of them listen to it, chat about it. But at least I'm sowing the seed. Ask God to make the pleasure of the world turn sour. Then I'd like to ask God to show them the absolute reasonableness in serving Him. I like to ask a person that's sort of in the valley of decision, what's holding you back from making a heartfelt commitment to believe in Jesus and to follow Him? What's holding you back? And when they really sit and think, it's just self. And I said, that self is going to rob you of an eternity and the abundant life here on earth. But when you start praying for them to realize, hold on, the crazy is not to commit. That's the very least I should give my all to Him. I like to also ask God to bring His word to them. I know people that have come to faith and have got come under such great God conviction watching movies. There's some amazing movies that are out today that God is using. Certain YouTube clips, certain little emails, SMSs. God's arresting people's hearts. Let's pray for God to bring His word to them. One of the funniest stories, his name was Carl, was a hobo, came to faith in a wonderful way. Got a funny story here. I said, Carl, how did you come to faith? He says, Wally, I used to be on drugs and everything like that, and I had one of those little Gideon Bibles. And I used to tear the Gideon Bible, put my dachan and drugs and roll it up, but I used to feel so bad by doing that. I said to God, I'm going to read it before I smoke it. he smoked Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, God got him in John. It was so funny. When he tells the story, I just laugh. So that's the last thing I would have thought in a million years. So he had a bit of a conscience. He didn't want to smoke it without reading it first. And that's just the way God worked there. It's amazing. I just laugh when I think of it. And then lastly, we got to, by faith, rejoice in their salvation. It's a faith thing we got to believe. Don't be moved by opposition or aggro from any of them. You just stand your ground in faith, rejoice. That I, by faith, see their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I see them serving God. Don't get despondent or discouraged. Think of where you were before you came to faith. God extended His grace and mercy to you. He's going to do it for them. So don't stop praying. Get together in groups. And then out of prayer, God will show you what to do for them. And those little things are often the most profound things that turn and change their lives. I remember Marco, one of my Italian friends that I played squash with. And he had to go for a massive back op. And I was the one that visited him in hospital, cared for him. He says, hey, I don't know where my Italian beep, beep, beep friends are. But you here, Wally. So I said, I love you. I love you. I really care for you. And then he was living with a girlfriend. They had one massive bust up that the police were called in because she said he physically abused her. So he phoned me. Marco phoned me. I was there trying to sort out between the policeman and her. And that was one big tangle up. But after, he says, Wally, thank you for coming. And then when we had a men's get together, I said, Marco, I'd love to invite you to hang with some real men. He says, I'll be there. And he's on a journey, but he's Italian. Well, I struggle with that because, so him and I, when we start talking, I've got to put my phone, English, Italian translation. But it's difficult. He's very Italian. So I went on the internet. I got the gospel written out in Italian with the English next to it. Printed, I said, Mark, I've got it for you. I gave it to him. He started to say, this is what you're telling me. This is what you're telling me. I said, yes. He's so close to making a commitment. But I had to be there with his backup. Had to be there when he had this big fight. And now his heart is wide open. But he was on my prayer list. Praying for Marco. Praying for Jack. Praying for Brian. I've got a dozen or plus just that I'm praying. And saying, God, how do you want me to reach out to them? What act of kindness would draw them? Can I encourage you, get your Lamb's Book of Life together, get your salt roots together, have a deep conviction of your understanding of the gospel, and every day live a salty life through the conversations you speak, the seeds you plant, wherever you go. A kind word goes such a long way, and God is in it.